That's what the message of the prayer of John chapter 17 ends up being, especially in this passage that I'm sharing today from John 17, 13 to 21. We're in the world for witness. We're not in the world for ourselves. We're not in the world to act like we don't belong here, but we're in the world to know that we are where Jesus wants us to be, that we might give witness to the power of God. There's a power of joy. Power of joy that Jesus talks about in John 17, 13. But now I am coming to you. This is in the midst of his prayer to his Father. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. There is a power of joy as in prayer, Jesus lifts us up to God the Father. Because this power of joy comes from his word in the world. Why? Because Jesus has spoken to his disciples those things that are needed to be heard. Through his word in the world, that we might have his joy. And when you go back and look at this, this is the joy of Jesus birthed in us and then made complete in us, fulfilled in us. Can you imagine that? Jesus says, I want my followers to have the same joy I have. His joy fulfilled, completed in us. That's a power that's hard to imagine. It's a power that, as we see in a moment, really allowed Jesus to go far and beyond where we would have expected. This is a joy that allowed Jesus to bear the cross. And we see that in Hebrews 12, 2. We are told to look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Joy is about the long view. Jesus kept his eyes on the eternal joy that God had planned for him. Now, it's amazing that joy on the other side of the cross is what allowed him to endure the cross. This is a power of joy that allowed him to ignore the scandal of it all, because he was focused on what God intended, and Jesus gained the prize. He endured the cross. He's now seated at the right hand of God, which means that Jesus has God's authority as well as his power to act, to do what needs to be done. Jesus is there fulfilling even the prayer that he made in the upper room as he asked that our joy would be in him. He was able to look to the cross and know that he could endure this for the purposes of God. Joy helps us survive whatever evil tries. That's important to know. Joy helps us survive whatever evil tries. And Jesus prayed for our joy. He prayed for this because with the word in a world of hate. It hurts to have to say that, doesn't it? But if you've paid any attention at all to what's going on in the last week or so, especially in the last couple of days, you recognize that hate spills over into a lot of places in our lives. Jesus said in John 17, 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Well, this is a world of hate. We see that, but God has given us his word that we might present the goodness of God wherever we are. God loves the world. Yes, even the world and the mess that it's in, because even before Jesus was sent, God loved the world. From the beginning of time, from before the foundations of the world, he had your life, your heart in his mind. He knew what he wanted to do for you and for me. But you see, the hate that's been in the world is a hate that's been based on bullying. It's been based on tyranny. It's based on I'm stronger than you, so it gets to go my way. It's been based on privilege. It's been based on pushing down any weaker than we are. Much like the Hebrew slaves under Pharaoh, there was a time when Pharaoh tried to crush them. He wanted to kill their babies so they wouldn't gain any power. Hate is something that we often don't recognize being operative in our actions, because we don't recognize that the history of our behavior is often built by hate. We are in a world of hate, and we are supposed to be something other than that. We are supposed to be on God's side. We are supposed to be among those who love the world with God, because he sent his son for us, his son, the word. And that son, that word is life. We read this in John chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Our Creator is our life and our light. That's what verse 3 said. All things were made through him. And that life is what he came to give us. While we are in the world, we need to shine the light. The word is life. In him was life, and that life was light of men. We need that life of Christ in us, and we need to shine the light, because the enemy of God wants only darkness. But the scripture reminds us light has power over darkness. John chapter 1, verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We need that right now. We need to know that light has power over darkness. We need to know that darkness flees in the presence of light. That while we are in the world, as we shine that light of Christ. We have to shine it in the darkness. There is no darkness that can put out a candle, because the candle puts out the darkness. Even if we're little bits of light in this dark world, the darkness cannot put out the light. John knew this as he wrote this. John knew this as he had experienced Christ in his own life. As John wrote his gospel in the later years of his own life, he wrote it after decades of experiencing the power of God working through his faithful people in a world of darkness. And he says, the light overcomes the darkness. It shines in the darkness. Darkness can't reverse light. But we have a problem. And that is Satan, and that name, by the way, means adversary, enemy. I don't like to give him too much credit, so often I use enemy instead of Satan when I'm talking about him. But Satan is a thief, plain and simple. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The thief tries to steal what God has given. Tries to steal. The weapon of Satan is hate. And you see that all around us. Hate through institutions and hate through privilege and hate through power and hate through bigotry and hate through racism and hate through economics, hate through opportunities, hate through healthcare options, all of these things. You see, this is a weapon of Satan that increases frustration, increases the trouble in our lives, increases the problems that we have. Because the plan of hate is to steal, to kill, to destroy, to negate every good God offers. See, even though there's justification in the frustration and the anger that our black brothers have felt over these last months, they come from years and decades and centuries of hate pushed upon them. In so many ways. So many ways, society has been used as a weapon of Satan to hate the downtrodden, to hate those who have less, to hate whatever it comes in contact with, to negate every good that God offers. But I want you to know that although the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, Jesus came to give life and give it abundantly. See, the weapon of the word is love. The weapon of the word is love. The goal of love is life. And the result of love is abundant life. That means that we need to live as an emissary of God's love in a place where Satan would snuff it out. So Jesus prays this back in John chapter 17, verses 15 and 16. Jesus prays, "Keep them. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." Well, to be guarded by God, that's what Jesus prays for. In the world, where we live, not separated from it, not in a monastic setting, not away from everything, but right where we are, right where we live. Jesus prays that we be kept from the evil one. He doesn't pray that we be rescued from this place or rescued from this time or rescued from these purposes that God has for us in this world. He prays that we would be kept from the evil one, that we would be so far separated from the purposes of hate that we would be able to shed the goodness of love and the light of God around us. Protected from the hate that would mar us. Protected from darkness that would overcome us. Protected as ambassadors of Christ in the world, as emissaries of God, as those who have been sent, that we might bring light where there's darkness. We're designed to be true saints. John 17, 17 and 18. Jesus prays, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." Emissaries, remember? But designed to be true saints by the power of God to make us holy. To make us holy by truth. To make us holy by the word. To make us holy by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which we celebrate on this Pentecost Sunday, as the people of God were together and the Holy Spirit descended upon them and spread among them and worked in them the miracle of taking them from wondering, scared believers in Jesus to powerful, persons of influence in a world of hate, influences of God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus prayed that we would be sanctified, that sanctification comes only by being set apart as God's holy vessels by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the truth that God shares, by the word of Christ as emissaries of heaven. Because the world needs God's people now. John 17:19, Jesus says, "And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth." For their sake I consecrate myself, Jesus says, that they may be sanctified by truth. Jesus dedicates himself here, consecrates himself, puts himself as a vessel set aside to be used by God to make us holy, to make us holy by truth. We learn to follow lies so easily. There was a post, I didn't copy the essence of it, but a friend of mine from high school, he had posted, well, let's see, all the epidemiologists, all the infectious disease control experts, all the scientists, all of these people say that this coronavirus is dangerous and deadly, and yet I have friends I went to high school with that barely graduated science, and they tell me that this is all a hoax. My goodness, it's so hard to decide who to believe. Well, we get tied up in listening to the voices instead of listening to truth. We want to make sure we hear truth. Jesus dedicates himself to make us holy by his truth, because truth does not ignore reality. Truth does not ignore the realities of oppression, does not ignore the realities of discrimination, does not ignore the realities of privileged power. It does not ignore the realities of injustice and despair. Jesus dedicates himself that we might be made holy by truth, so that we do not ignore what is wrong in our world. And instead, as emissaries of God, we work to be light in the darkness. So how then should we live? It's really from an old word that we know. How then should we live? Micah 6, verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? See, it doesn't take something brand new to know how we should live. We need to recognize good, the good that God has intended. We need to do what the Lord requires. We need to do justice, not just believe in it, not just say we have a system, but we need to do justice. There's not a complicated phrase there, is there? The old prophet Micah says, do it. Do justice. We need to love kindness. All right, that's not very difficult to understand either, is it? Love kindness. Not love ourselves so that we will push hate and bad behavior on others, but love kindness. Kindness goes above and beyond. Kindness soothes and cares and seeks the best for those that it serves. Kindness is bringing the love of God into our world. And then to walk humbly with our God. You know, we are so prone to continue our pride of life, to continue our reasons for our behavior, to decide that we can choose how we walk and how we live, in what we do, because at the end of the day, God will forgive us. That is not humble before God. That is prideful before God. When we think of God's forgiveness, we have to remember the price that was paid. When we think of God's forgiveness for our prideful behavior, we have to remember that the blood of Jesus dripped down from the cross because of that. Grace is costly to God, and our discipleship should be costly that we might serve God. The power of the Holy Spirit is the power of Christ, and we're sanctified through the Holy Spirit. And that means we need a united front of love through that sanctification. Here's what Jesus says in John 17, 20 to 21. Jesus is praying in the upper room with those 12 that have been with him. Well, Judas has left at this point, but the 11 that have stuck with him. He says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. You see, we've been part of his prayer all along. We are those who have believed through the word of those who have been followers of Christ before us. Jesus has made us part of this prayer from the beginning of it. And he prays this, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe you have sent me. We need a united front of love. And it's good news that Jesus prayed for you. He prayed for me. He prayed for us. We who have believed in him, because of the witness of those who have gone before us, we need to respond to what God wants to do through this prayer of Jesus. See, I'm pretty sure that when Jesus prayed, God listened. I'm certain when Jesus prayed, God answered. I know without a doubt that when Jesus prayed, he prayed that the heart of God be fulfilled. I know without any uncertainty that Jesus was on the same page as God the Father. And he prayed that we have a united front of love. We must come together as one, bearing the unity of the Father and the Son and the sanctifying Spirit, that we might live in them. We do that together. We do that working to right the wrongs, working to heal the brokenhearted, working to dissolve the oppression, working to lift up the downtrodden, working to get rid of the inequities and the injustices that are all around us, and seeking to find, through the unity of Christ, a new way of thinking and living and behaving. We need a united front of love. Living out love with justice, living out love with kindness, living out love with humility, for it is only then that the world will know Jesus. It is only then that the world will believe that Jesus is the Son of God sent, because God's heart loves us so much that there isn't anything he wouldn't do for our forgiveness, for our salvation, for our sanctification. My question for you is this. Is your version of holiness in line with God's purposes today? Let us pray. Lord, our hearts are torn and our hearts are broken by the opposites of what Jesus has come to bring. And Lord, over the centuries, those opposites have raised their ugly head over and over and over, for Satan is still the thief who steals and kills and destroys what God has done. But God, you have done good. You have done good in giving us Christ. You have done good in sharing your Son. You have done good in providing for a sacrifice to cover our sins. And Lord, let us remember that we're not in the midst of a social problem, we're in the midst of a sin problem. And seek your heart and lay ourselves before you and ask that you heal our land. But not asking that we be eliminated from the problems, but that we be in the midst of it, speaking the truth of love in Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Amen.